This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is South Carolina Republican Congressman Joe Wilson, who represents his state's 2nd Congressional District. He's a member of both the House Armed Services and Foreign Affairs Committees, and we'll talk about his expertise on two critical areas of concern in those arenas, namely Afghanistan and Libya, in just a moment. But the congressman also made news last week by not only endorsing Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty for the Republican presidential nomination, but taking an active role in the former governor's campaign in South Carolina, which, of course, is a key early primary state. And first of all, Congressman, it's always great to have you with us.
Greg, thank you, and I appreciate you bringing key issues to the American people.
Our pleasure, sir. In terms of Governor Pawlenty, what was it about him, his record, or his campaign platform that appealed to you most?
It's his record. He has served as a very distinguished governor of Minnesota for 2 terms. He's been a solid conservative, working to limit the growth of government, and that's what we need in Washington. And we need a change, and I want to work early. I'm very, very concerned. The election of 2012 is crucial for the young people of our country, and I want to make sure that we have a candidate and a person who will work to limit the size of government to expand freedom.
You talked about the record that Governor Pawlenty compiled in his time as Minnesota. As you look at 2012, and there's so many critical issues, the economy is right out there at the front, of course, foreign affairs, which you're an expert in, as well as energy and so many other things. What is the critical thing that you were looking for in a candidate before you made your endorsement?
It would be a candidate like Governor Tim Pawlenty, who has worked for limited government, which then produces the ability of small businesses to create jobs. And we have so many families in our country right now who are without jobs. It's very crippling, and we need to have a proponent of limited small government. This is how we grow small businesses. This is how we create opportunity by creating jobs. And we see the failure of the current administration. By simply borrowing money, spending money, the jobs have not been created. We need to change course. We need a new president in 2012.
You know the South Carolina electorate pretty well. They're used to having a lot of presidential attention. What do you expect them to think of this guy from Minnesota, especially as they compare him to folks like Romney and Gingrich and Bachman and so many others?
Well, I'm really excited. South Carolina really is a composite of America. We have had so many people come to and move to South Carolina from all over the country. They're very active in the Republican Party. They are looking forward to meeting all the candidates. And I'm confident that they will support a candidate who has a conservative record, a mainstream record of creating jobs, and that's where Governor Tim Pawlenty fits in.
Last question on this front. Given the fact that you're taking an active role in the campaign, what will be your role as you try to convince Republicans in the Palmetto State that this is the guy that they should support? What will that role look like for you on a week-to-week or day-to-day basis?
Well, I look forward to accompanying the governor when he visits South Carolina. I will be the co-chair of the campaign, contacting party leaders, party activists, Tea Party activists, to get involved in the campaign. Meet the governor, get involved, work for change in 2012.
Well, he's certainly been out there with some very bold statements on critical issues lately, so it'll be very interesting to see how the voters there and elsewhere respond to him. He and, of course, many of the other candidates were at a debate in New Hampshire last night, and towards the end of the debate, some critical questions came up over what ought to be the U.S. policy in Afghanistan and Libya. It seemed like, for the most part, folks were ready to see at least some, if not a good chunk of our troops come home from Afghanistan. Do you believe it's time to make that move?
My view is we are so fortunate, Greg, with the leadership of General David Petraeus. We have one of the brightest and most thoughtful persons ever to serve in a military position. I would really want to rely on the advice of General David Petraeus, our military leaders. We must not persist in such a way that it would be not in the interest of our military. It's so important that we achieve a stable society, a civil society in that country, so that they cannot organize terrorist attacks again from Afghanistan against the people of the United States.
Are you convinced that if we were to bring out a large percentage of our troops, that the gains that have been made could be held based on the training we've been able to provide the Afghan security forces?
You raised such a great question, and that's where I want to have the input of the military. We should not really let politicians determine future course. We need to look at what our military recommends. Our military have made huge strides. My former National Guard unit, the 218th Brigade, of the South Carolina Army National Guard, served in Afghanistan. I have visited the country 11 times. I do have faith in the American military. I have faith in the people of Afghanistan. They want to build a civil society, which then benefits American families, because terrorists will not be able to operate against the United States. They will not allow destabilization of Pakistan, which is a nuclear country, And we need to look together at what's going on in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and that's what the military will do.
The other major topic of conversation on the foreign policy stage, of course, was Libya, with just about everyone up there, if not all of them, saying that they didn't really see an immediate national security interest for the U.S. military to be involved in this mission in Libya. I know you and I have talked about this before, as we've now gone past the deadline for the president to get congressional authorization and everything else. What do you expect to happen, and what do you make of most of the Republican hopefuls saying that we shouldn't be there?
Well, I don't see Libya as an American vital interest, and I'm very disappointed. When the president's right, by promoting a surge of troops in Afghanistan to bring stability, I will point it out. But the president was wrong to get us involved in Libya. And I see this truly as a quagmire. I see this as a civil war. We have questions that need to be answered. Who are we being supportive of? Are the rebels in the tradition of freedom and democracy, or are they heavily influenced by Al-Qaeda?
Let me ask you to answer pretty much the question you just suggested there, and that's that: how do we get out of there smoothly? Just a few days ago, when you guys in the House were considering the resolution on Libya, Speaker Boehner was hesitant to put language in that called for the withdrawal of troops because he said that would be harmful to our relationship with NATO. So how do you do this right?
Well, it's going to be tough because the president's got us involved in something we should not be involved. And the good news is that the Congress has made it very clear that we do not want boots on the ground. We do not want American service members at risk in the middle of a civil war. I say this sadly, Greg, I believe the president's over his head. He got us involved in a third war. We need to be completing the two we're in.
And, of course, Iraq now just has a few months left. We've heard few reports of violence there in recent weeks. Do you still get the sense that we're on schedule to pretty much be gone by the end of the year?
I believe that the American forces have made such strides of stability in Iraq. Again, I rely on our military leaders. General William Austin has been the leader of our troops there. We have an extraordinary military leadership in Iraq who are assisting the people of Iraq to defend themselves, and they are making tremendous progress. I've visited the country 11 times, and each time I'm impressed by the resolve of the people of Iraq to live in freedom and democracy.
Well, Congressman, a critical campaign really getting underway in earnest, and obviously two major national security issues being evaluated as well. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Greg, thank you. And again, I appreciate you bringing such key issues to the American people.
Thank you, sir. Republican South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson represents his state's 2nd Congressional District, member of both the House Armed Services and Foreign Affairs Committees. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.